plastic bag, drifting through the wind, wanting to start again. Do you ever feel this so paper thin, like a house of cards, one blow from caving in? Do you ever feel already buried deep, 6 feet under screens and no one seems to hear a thing? Do you know that there's still a chance for you, 'cause there's a spark in you, you just gotta ignite the light and let it shine. Just on the night, like the 4th of July, 'cause baby you're a firework. Come on, show 'em what you work, make 'em go as you shoot across the sky.
By myself, I must thank you. You did too. You got all quiet on me.
I did not. I was counting sexily.
Is that sexually? Did you just say?
No, I said sexily, but I don't think that's a real word.
It sounds like sexually.
Well, I
think that's a Freudian slip.
That could be.
Welcome to the Sit a Spell Show. Yay!
It's just me and T tonight.
Yeah.
Our beautiful Ashley is helping out somebody at work tonight because they had a funeral to go to, and she felt really bad. She's like, oh, Mom, what should I do? And I'm like, what are you kidding me? You go help out your friend. So it's just us.
Yes.
And so, T, how is your week?
Well, my gosh. Where shall we begin? The good stuff or the psycho stuff? Which do you want first?
Let's start with the psycho stuff, and then we'll end with the good stuff.
Okay. This adventure is psycho nurse in alternate reality. Okay. So we all know when, you know, I went to the hospital, blah, 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 over a month ago. And a certain discharge advocate nurse comes into my room and gives me the diagnosis of heart failure. No doctor gives me this, but this nurse takes it on herself to give me an inaccurate diagnosis. So, you know, I made my complaints to the cardiologist and all that, and they were going to take care of it, blah, blah, blah. Well, it was like last Wednesday, I'm on Facebook as usual, and all of a sudden, I get an IM by someone that I'm going, who are you? So I'm going to read this to you because it's just fabulous. I'm not going to put her name on there because I do respect people's privacy. But she comes on.
Ironic.
Yeah. And she goes, I saw your name on my Facebook friends page, The Blank Girls. I think I met you at Buffalo Hospital. 'Tis a small world. Hope you're doing well. Name of psycho nurse. And at first it was like, you have got to be kidding me. I was so livid. And I was just going to ignore her and let it go and let it go.
And this is the one that gave you the bad diagnosis, right?
This is the one that gave me the bad diagnosis. And I was stewing on it. And so finally I responded back to her and I go, and you're the nurse who told me I had heart failure when, in fact, I don't. Thinking that she would take that hint to shut the blankety blank up and go her merry way to psycho reality world. No. She responded back, yep, it was listed in your history. Some of your labs supported it, but it was hard to believe. So how do you know blank and blank? What?
I'm shaking my head right now.
What? Excuse me. And so then I responded back, well, according to my cardiologist, the diagnosis you gave me is not supported at all. And hence then I shut her down, blocked her. And I'm like, oh my God, BITCH, your job stopped the minute that you phoned my house to tell me I had give me my doctor appointments. After that, you had no business contacting me at all.
Aren't there HIPAA laws about that?
I am not sure exactly what the HIPAA laws themselves cover. I didn't save my sheet, unfortunately. But I did send a scathing complaint letter to the hospital and explained everything prior to this. And then I sent a copy of her conversation to me and made a formal complaint to the hospital. I haven't heard back yet, but they said it takes like 3 to 4 days before you hear anything. But, you know, whatever. But it's like, all right, psycho reality nurse. Thank you.
That is so unbelievably unprofessional. It's crazy to me.
And she was like totally not even in a reality to know that it was inappropriate.
Was she like 12?
No. From her picture, she looks like she's in her 50s.
Oh, my God.
It's like, wake up and smell reality, Lonnie.
Wow. Okay, what else? That's crazy. What else?
So then we're going to go to the fun stuff because that was... Bleh. As we know, Friday, we were all going to go to the drag queen show at the Mounds Theater, right?
Right.
And unfortunately, you and Ash weren't able to go.
No.
But I did take my daughter and her friend, and we all three of us popped our drag queen show cherries. And I have a new addiction.
Oh, you gotta love the queens.
You've gotta love the queens. And the lineup they had that night was Foxy Tan, who, by the way, has the personality plus. And I absolutely fell in love with her. And yeah, I've come to find out.
Fight, though.
What?
I said she is great, but her and I fight.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I come to find out that she is actually a female.
Yes, she is.
That is a female impersonator, which I thought was fabulous. And then they had Mistress Victoria DeVille, awesome. Camilla Collins, who I might add wears these beautiful, gorgeous Vegas-style headdresses. And, I got a kiss.
Oh,
made my night. And then they had Lucy Fur, Sasha Dupree Rogers, and they had drag kings that night too. That I was really amazed at how good they are too. They had Hank Hung. You have to love these names. And Bruce Sprungsteen. My God, I was flipping out. I didn't have much money in my pocket, but the majority of it was given to them. I mean, I was getting ready to bow down on the stage in reverence. You know, it's like, yes, we had the most awesomest time. And at the end of the night, my daughter, who earlier kind of caught attitude and was irritating me, about choked me to death with hugs.
Oh,
going, oh, Mom, thank you so much. I love you. Oh, that was so awesome. Fred's getting so jealous. And I'm like, oh, okay. So, yes, it was an amazing time. And I love the creativity that goes into being a drag queen. Because, oh, my God, they look better than women.
Oh, they do.
So, yeah. And
They're just beautiful.
Breathtaking.
Yep.
And the work that they put into the costumes and all that, it's just, you know, being creative myself, it's just, I have a deep appreciation of it. Let's put it that way. But it was wonderful. And I found out that they were asked back to the Mounds on May 10th, I think it is.
Yep, the 10th.
Yes. So every one of you within earshot distance of St. Paul, get your butt to the Mounds on May 10th. You will not regret it. Awesome. So,
Foxy Tan, her and I in a room together, two strong type A women, negotiating fees.
Oh. Now that woman, she has to be like that though, you know, because there weren't a lot of people giving tips, and for those that don't know, it is customary to tip the performers as they're performing, you know. And so, I mean, that woman, she worked it to get the, you know, the tips out. And, you know, I practically opened my wallet and said, here, you know, there wasn't much here. Do you want my change too? There was one woman who wrote her a check and gave it to her. And she was like, well, this is a first. But it was awesome. Awesome, awesome show. I am going again. There's just no way around it. I'm going.
Victoria was one of the MCs, right?
Yes.
Yeah, because she did the burlesque show. So when I was negotiating with them, I didn't realize he was part of the show because he was just like, you know, in a baseball cap and all dude'd out. And then when I saw him at burlesque, I'm like, you are stunning as a woman.
They helped her.
It was crazy, but I'm so glad that you guys had fun. I'm sorry that Ash and I had to miss.
Well, you had a good reason.
Yeah, we did. But wow, I couldn't wait to hear how it went. And I'm so pleased. Gran is so pleased.
I mean, you can't go wrong with naked buttocks.
naked buttocks.
Hot leaf pasties and double dildos. I mean, how can you go wrong with that?
I don't think you can.
Nine person's friggin' playground. I almost had to put the money in the swear jar. Oh my God. I was just blown away. Blown away. I lost my voice that night and the works. I was screaming so much. Yes.
Awesome.
So what happened with you, darling?
Oh gosh. What happened with me? Oh, I missed the drag show and pretty much the entire weekend because my dad got sick. And he had to go in the hospital, but he's on the mend now, thanks to everybody's hail, prayer, and healing. I tried to say that at the same time, and it just kind of didn't work well. So he's on the mend now, so he's going to be out any day. So that's why I missed the show. But like I said, he's doing better. I had a Doctor Who marathon, which makes me a nerd, but... But I so enjoyed it, me and my cat. Oh, by the way, my cat, Princess Squeaky Bear, is more of a guard dog than a cat. I drove home today from work, and there was a strange silver Mercedes parked in my driveway, and there's nobody around. I thought maybe it was the realtor because I'm buying my house. But nobody was around, and I'm like, what the hell? I'm texting. I'm like, whose car is this? All of a sudden, Bear, like an hour later, she jumps up on the window ledge, looks over at me, meows, looks back. I get up. The car is leaving.
I would have thought it was a gift from heaven and broke into it and claimed it as my own.
Well, you know, that thought did cross my mind, but...
Did we ever find out who the owner of the vehicle was?
No.
Why didn't you run out there with a stick and beat him?
Well, I didn't know that they had come to claim the car until Bear let me know, and then they just took off. The weirdest thing. I don't know what's going on.
Girl, you should go out there like some crazy woman, you know, with your hair all muscled up with the broom and go, you are getting charged for a parking fee!
Well, you mean like go out like what I look like right now then?
Yes. Gorgeous as ever.
No. No. And what else? Something else happened. I don't... Oh! April Fool's Day was yesterday. Or Monday.
Yeah.
Monday was April Fool's Day. And so one of my coworkers constantly is pulling pranks on me.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I'll get you on Monday. And so I... did. I turned his monitor so that it was his screen was upside down. I made it so the rollerball on his thing, I put a post-it underneath it. Yep, on his mouse. I put a post-it on there with April Fool's on it. He said that was lame. He said out of a 1 to 10, that wasn't even a 2, but whatevs. I made it so that when he clicked his mouse, it would do the opposite of what he wanted to do. I kidnapped his favorite coffee cup and I took a picture of it and made a ransom note. It was either he had to come up with $1 million in quarters by the next day or a small bag of Cheetos.
Did you
So,
get Cheetos?
no, because our joke ended today. So he went to Kim, or I shouldn't say her name. He went to one of my other coworkers and he's like, listen, look at what she did. She hijacked my, or she kidnapped my cup. So this is what I want you to do. I want you to pretend, or I want you to take her in the room, in the conference room tomorrow morning and just make her scared, make her be like, this is
You're
borderline threatening and all this other stuff, so that I'd be terrified and be like, oh my God. And so of course she comes to me the next day and she goes, okay, I saw the ransom note. That was the funniest thing I've ever seen. Because I mean, I put other stuff in there too, like, and have a great day, the happy kidnapper, and
Lisa?
So Kim tell or damn it. So she tells me this. And so we concoct this thing where he's going to come into work and I'm going to be like, I'm so sorry, and fake cry and all this stuff and give him back his cup. And he's going to be like feeling terrible. So that's exactly what I did. So he came in and I'm crying. I mean, I couldn't create tears, but I was fake crying. I gave him back his cup. I'm like, it'll never happen again. I'm so sorry, blah, blah, blah. He's like, oh, Lisa, no. Oh, no. It was a joke between her and I that we were going to get you since you got me so bad, because I did a whole bunch of crap to him yesterday. And then he's like trying to console me, and I look up at him and I'm like, ha, April Fool's douche.
You should have
Lisa,
gotten
if I may interject, why
that.
didn't you take any of the suggestions I gave you? Were they all too evil?
Well, I need to keep my job. I like to eat.
See, Teresa, I don't know if you saw some of the ones I
Yeah.
suggested. For the audience, if you have access to their computer, this is one of the most evil things you can do because no one's ever going to see it coming. You go in and whatever browser they like, whether it's Chrome, Firefox, or for the retards, Internet Explorer. You go in and change the Firefox.exe or whatever to shutdown.exe. Then every time they try and open a browser, it will shut the computer down.
Yeah, I
They'll
get paid
spend
for that.
days trying to figure that out before they actually go and check where the exe is directed.
Yes, but at a financial institution, that's time and money, and I don't think they'd be real happy about that one.
Okay, then how about this one for just evil? Make a really nice looking meat sandwich out of like cat food or dog food, put it in the fridge at work, and then say you're not feeling well and offer it to your coworkers.
Again,
That
could
I would
have
lose my job.
legal ramifications there.
All right.
I would just get some apple bitters, the stuff that they put on. They spray on things so your cat and dog won't chew on them. Put a little bit on your finger and just rub it on the ring of his coffee cup. So every time he took a drink, he'd get the most bitterest taste in his mouth.
Or you could do the one, you take one of those little compressed air horns, you put it underneath their chair and duct tape it to the pin, and you make it so when they sit down, their weight will depress the horn and scare the living crap out of them when they sit down. I've seen people fly to the damn ceiling with that one.
But again,
Again.
I can't do those because I work at a financial institution where we've got clients coming in all
Yeah.
the time.
It would work great in a factory or a gas station.
I pulled this kind of stuff at a TV station. I put fake rats on anchors' chairs. I put fake spiders on keyboards. I did all this kind of weird crap, and usually they knew it was me. I mean, they didn't even have to ask, Josh, did you do this? They'd just pick up the rat and throw it at me.
And now, because the shirt that I wore today, which I didn't realize it until I actually looked in the mirror, I wore an old lady looking shirt today. So now every week we're going to have a different theme for Fridays. Ugly sweater, old lady, bingo, all kinds of just weird, just to make it fun.
Fun stuff, let
Yep.
me
Oh,
tell
and
you.
I got engaged yesterday.
You did.
I
Congratulations.
did.
Ah.
Thank you. Yep. A very dear friend of mine. I've known him for over 20 years. He sent me a text and he goes, we should get engaged. I'm like, excuse me. So Together we concocted this whole thing. We proclaimed our love on Facebook and changed our relationship status, and I was getting all kinds of, oh, congratulations, blah, blah, blah. And then all my friends that know me for real know, they were like, nah, whatevs. So we did this whole thing. It was very fun. My, our Ashley, she sent me a text message saying, congratulations on your engagement. And I said, thanks, it's a whirlwind thing. And she's like, whatever. Kayla, on the other hand, called me, and I've got the voicemail, but I have to get my phone. But it's the funniest voicemail ever, because she didn't know it was fake. I'm like, really, Kayla? So I've got a very funny voicemail for that. So
let's hear this, this message.
I'm here. You need to call me, and I need to know why it says you're engaged to this acorn, or I don't even know what the last name is. I just assumed it was acorn. But let me know what's going on, because I'm confused, and I'm like, this is mine. What's going on? Okay, tell me.
She's going to kill me for putting that on the show. But when I called her back, she was screaming in my ear. She's like, Mom, what is going on? I don't know anything about this guy. I'm like, I've known him longer than I've known you. And I kind of just let it go on and on. She's freaking out. She's like, Mom, you keep marrying the wrong guys. I'm like, I know, but this one's fake. So just relax. I go, it's April Fool's Day, remember? And she goes, oh, yeah.
Oh, and she didn't hand you freaking doing it as an April Fool's joke?
She didn't catch on at all.
Such a silly child.
Yes.
Well, then, let's head off to a break, shall we?
Well, hold on. I just wanted to say, and then T was very instrumental in my fake breakup from my fiance. It was very funny. We made sure it played out all over Facebook, and Teresa got involved, and it was just funny. Funny, yeah. Funny.
I broke out the baseball bat threat and everything all over again.
It was awesome.
Memories.
Oh, that's right. You've done that before, haven't you?
Yes, I did, to a certain Brit.
Yeah. All right, we can take our break now.
All right, Doc. See you in a bit.
All right, we'll be right back after this song.
Now the parking lot is empty. Everyone's gone someplace. Pick you up and in the trunk I've packed a cooler and a two-day suitcase. Cause there's a place we like to drive way out in the country. And 5 miles out of the city limit we're singing and your hands upon my knee. So we're okay. Chase all the ghosts from your head. I'm stronger than the monster beneath your bed. Smarter than the tricks played on your heart. We'll look at them together, then we'll take them apart. Adding up the total of a love that's true. Multiply life by the power of two. It's that we loved each other well. Because I've seen the shadows of so many people still trying on the treasures of youth. But a road that fancying fast ends in a fatal crash. And I'm glad we got off to tell you the truth. Cause we're okay. Chase all the ghosts from your head. I'm stronger than the monster beneath your bed. I'm smarter than the tricks played on your heart. We'll look at them together, then we'll take them apart. Adding up the total of a love that's true. Multiply life by the power of two. Thank you. shiny little trinkets of temptation. Something new instead of something old. All you gotta do is scratch beneath the surface, and it's fool's gold. Fool's gold. Suddenly been with ease. The closer I'm out in love to you, the closer I am free. So we're okay, we're fine. Baby, I'm here to stop your crying. She saw the ghost from your head. I'm stronger than a monster beneath your bed. Smarter tricks play on your heart. Look at them together, then we'll take them apart. Adding up a total of a love that's true. Multiply life by the power of two.
All right, welcome back to the show. Hope you like the song. We are going to do a little bit of news tonight. Normally, Ashley does this amazing job, but like we said, she can't be on the show tonight. So our first news piece is near and dear to my heart, sort of. It's on The Walking Dead. Walking Dead serves as a metaphor for reality. When it comes to the subject of supernatural phenomenon, producers have moved in quite a few different directions. There are romantic, sexualized vampires that seem more interested in finding potential mates than sucking blood, which supposedly is supposed to be their natural instinct. And there are glamorized witches and wizards from series such as Sabrina the Teenage Witch and the Wizards of Waverly Place. Yes, because we're trying to recruit the young ones. Sorry. Whatever forms they take, paranormal creatures recently have been portrayed as desirable, alluring, or comedic. The film Zombieland made zombies into a joke, and Warm Bodies portrayed a zombie as a loving, expressing human character, or as having loving and expressing human characteristics, which is so much different than the archetypal Dawn of the Dead type zombie situation. However, the much-acclaimed Walking Dead, which ended its third season on Sunday, is bringing the true original blood and gore of zombies back to reality. Fortunately for AMC, this show is not all blood, guts, and gore. In a seemingly impossible situation, it seems AMC has brought deep meaning into the goriest of the supernatural. Fans seem to rave about how each episode's leave them longing for more. How could a show called The Walking Dead, a title that conjures up images of zombies ripping flesh off the screaming victims, keep viewers on the edge of their sofas? The drama and the personal stories amid the zombie apocalypse, though, that's what makes the show worth watching. In fact, even someone who would never in a million years expect to enjoy a zombie-filled apocalyptic world and would much prefer harmless romantic comedies can be swept away by the storyline of outrageous arc in The Walking Dead. I'm one of those. I'm terrified, scared to death of zombies. Freak me out. I never watched those movies. I'm personally addicted to The Walking Dead. What's truly remarkable about this show is that essentially it's an outrageous hyperbole of everyday life situations. It brings up common issues such as what we as humans do when we are desperate in traumatic situations. Do we look out for ourselves or do we keep our compassions for our loved ones? It brings up the inherently complex issue of loyalty, loss, self-worth, and regard for human life while still remaining true to the idea of waking up to a terrifying world taken over by zombies. Essentially, The Walking Dead is meant to be a metaphor for life. Characters such as the leaders Rick and Shane are thrown into complex situations in which they must control their questionable motivations to try and come up with the best solution for the struggling group. The choices are never clear, and the answers are never obvious. Failure is not an option. For the show's character, death occurs often and in tragic ways. Despite the instances of heartbreak that characters face, they move on and continue trekking through the zombie-filled forest. In the last episode before the season finale, the returning crazy yet beloved characters, Merle, finally mans up and attempts to help the group. Unfortunately, he does not quite change his irrational ways in time to survive. Guilt also exists. After all, why would a friend die and another friend live? Characters point fingers, sleep with their friends' wives, kill their best friends, and the kind of Lord of the Flies-esque situations. This is one of the most profound paranormal shows currently on air. The characters deal with tragic loss and heartbreak, you know, and it's just as catastrophic as those that we're dealing with 9/11. So I just, okay, for me personally, the article goes on, but you get the gist of it. For me personally, I never thought that I would like the show. A friend of mine, Ron, said, no, you got to watch the first two seasons and then you'll figure out that you like it. So we did this marathon and I'm like, I'm going to hate this. I hate zombies. They scare the heck out of me. And I'm just going to be honest. If there was a zombie apocalypse, I don't think I would make it. I mean, I've learned from The Walking Dead, but I think I'd be food.
I personally, you did the same thing to me. You got to watch it. You got to watch it because I don't get into that stuff. I'm addicted. Thank you.
It's not because of the zombies. It's because of the story.
Yep.
Because the zombies, when they kill the zombies, that is graphic. And I mean, Ron and I still watch it together. We just do it via phone now. I've got him on speaker and we watch the episodes together every Sunday. And he's on like a second or maybe a 2 second delay from where he is from where I am.
Yeah.
And I'm his spoiler girl. Cause I'll be like, he'll be like, oh, okay. So he knows when to like, you know, but it's such a good show. And I'm so sad that it's not going to come back now until October. Cause it's just a really good show. And it was so, I mean, the characters that they kill off, they're the main characters. So nobody's safe ever.
Yeah. Josh, you heard something about, what was her name? Amanda or?
Andrea.
The actress Laurie Holden is still getting death threats over the actions that her character takes on the show. Now, I've become sick of the show. It's become trite. It's become ridiculous. It's become a goddamn soap opera is what it's become. And the characters make the dumbest decisions possible, and they sit and weigh these life and death decisions like they're still living in the real world. When you're living in a new world like that, you can't go, well, then we lose our humanity if we come like that. Oh, and then we get eaten. Well, yeah, that was really worth keeping your humanity, wasn't it, asshole?
You owe the Scourger 2 times now, by the way.
Uh-uh, because I'm allowed to say both of those.
Well, fine.
Really?
But I would prefer to keep my humanity, and I will jump in front of a zombie to protect your bitter little young man butt.
And see, that's totally fine, so Teresa, because I have plenty of zombie plans that involve my friends' corpses, so there.
Oh, well then.
You have a zombie plan?
I have multiple zombie plans, depending on where I am at any moment when one might break out. I've got 37 up to this point.
Trip us all up. He's going to play Shane.
Yeah, because you don't have to be faster than the zombies. You only have to be faster than the slowest member of your party.
I agree with that.
Now, what happens when you no longer have slow party members? Then what do you do, sir?
But the thing about Laurie Holden is that yeah, she's getting death threats because of the actions her character took, and she's even been accosted at a con where a crazy fan jumped up and asked her why she didn't kill the governor. And it's people like that don't seem to understand the difference between an actress playing a character and that character being real.
I wonder if she's related to my alternate reality nurse. Okay, people, they're actors. They're not like that in real life.
Yeah, but you know, you see that all the time with old ladies that like start referring to their soap opera characters.
Wait a minute, I'm an old lady. You don't just lump us all together.
Old ladies like Teresa that refer to the soap opera actresses as their character's name when like they see them on another show and things like that. It's people that cannot separate truth from fiction. And unfortunately, we're getting deeper and deeper into that, it seems.
Or fantasy and reality. All righty. So I get to read the next one. Yay. That means there's going to be lots of bloopers. Psychic politician fears anti-witchcraft fraud law will harm witches. A new law designed to protect people against fraudulent claims of sorcery and witchcraft is causing controversy in Indonesia. At least one politician is concerned it might harm actual witches. Great Indonesia Movement Party politician Permadi, one name like Cher Bono, who says he has psychic powers, argues the measure fails to protect the rights of psychics and witches, and that not all people who could perform magic and cast spell on someone use their power wrongly. That seems logical, right? If you want to make this law perfect, he added, you should involve people who understand witchcraft, which might be the one thing we've heard this week that makes us feel better about our own political representatives. You gave me a short one. Thank you.
You're welcome. We need Ashley back.
Yes, we do.
Because we suck at this.
We do. She reads so fast.
And she makes it funny.
And the high-pitched squeals.
Yes.
You have to have those high-pitched squeals instead of, you know, the mental anorexia that I've got going on where I can hardly pronounce the word B. You
know? Well, and I'm still getting over a cold, so I've still got my deep, sexy voice going on. And
I like that. Talk dirty to me, witch.
Oh, you make me so hot and bothered, baby.
I know. Oh, I'm tingling. Get on with the next story.
Okay, our next story comes from Salem, Massachusetts. Salem Awards honors Doyle Selden. Or it could be Doyle and Selden. I actually didn't read the story before. Sorry. In 1992, on the 300-year anniversary of the Salem witch trials, the city of Salem famously dedicated a memorial to the victims of the hysteria behind the Peabody Essex Museum. At the time, the Salem Award for Human Rights and Social Justice was instituted to commemorate those who devoted their lives to ensuring that tragedies like the witch trials never happen again. This week, the 21st annual Salem Awards were given to two men who have dedicated their lives to noble, difficult causes. One of the goals is ending racism in America. The other is bringing justice to those victimized by clergy sex abuse. Horace Selden and Reverend Thomas Doyle, okay, so there are two people, were honored in a gala ceremony at the Peabody Essex Museum before a crowd of hundreds of residents who gathered to remember the city's hard-won legacy of social justice. Salem has changed in 300 years. We have families of every shade living together in harmony, but we are committed to not forgetting our past, said Mayor Kim Driscoll at the ceremony. These awards serve as a vital reminder that we can never let a mob rule mentality embrace our community. We can never stand by silently as others are persecuted. Driscoll was joined as a co-presenter of the award by the SSU president, Patricia McGuire Messerby, who introduced both awards. The Reverend Thomas Doyle is a man of enormous personal courage and integrity, Messerby said. He is the bravest clergyman in the Catholic Church, and his bravery is matched only by his compassion. In the 1980s, Doyle was a fast-rising church insider at the Vatican Embassy in Washington, D.C., and he discovered how church leadership covered up the sexual abuse of the children by the priests. He came forward, leading many Catholics to demand an explanation from their leadership, along with instances on greater transparency in dealing with the issue. Doyle's actions have empowered hundreds of victims to come forward and have prompted legislatures throughout the U.S. to eliminate or strengthen statutes of limitations in cases of sexual abuse of the young. In 2007, he received a Red Badge of Courage Award from SNAP, which is a survivors network of those abused by priests. The reason for the existence of the Salem Foundations are still with us, Doyle said. The sad reality is that the Salem Foundation still has a mission to bring reality to the nation's ideal that all men and all women are created equal. We know about the new Pope, and apparently he's done a lot of things that are non-traditional since he's taken over. One thing I'd like to see is all of the priests that have done these things, they should not be priests anymore. I mean that's just an obvious.
That'll never happen.
I know. But did you hear that there was some cardinal, or there were two, that basically were protecting the priest, and they were saying, and I don't know their names, but they were high up, and they were cardinals, and they were saying that the priests should not be in trouble for committing, for being a pedophile, because it's a disorder. Two cardinals said that.
Oh yeah, I bet you there's more than just two that say that.
But they said it publicly, news or press release or press conferences.
Yes, and even though it is a disorder, then why are you just not treating them and putting them in a different parish, well, so they can continue?
You know what? Great, it's a disorder, but child molestation, that's illegal.
Yeah, they shouldn't be anywhere near children.
We're stating the obvious. I mean, we know that, but I mean,
yes,
it's just makes me sick. So I'm hoping that this new priest will actually, or I'm sorry, Pope will actually do something about this, because he's doing other things that he was offered. Prada shoes. I don't know if I could turn those down.
Wow.
A huge apartment, and instead he's just staying in a small two-room thing. He's still taking the bus. He's washing prisoners' feet. I think maybe he might make a change. Although, you know, they don't last very long, I guess, anymore, so who knows?
Well, here's something that you didn't have on the news thing.
Okay.
Bless you. Okay, what do you think about this? Okay. Obama signs the Monsanto Protection Act, written by a Monsanto-sponsored senator. They've made it illegal for anyone to go after Monsanto, and they can do whatever the heck they want.
They are such an evil corporation, and the fact that he signed that pretty much under the radar because there are so many other news stories going on. It's
And even though at least one petition with 250,000 people had signed a petition asking the president to veto it.
See, and I
technically he was back, and I'm not an Obama defender whatsoever. I do not like the man or his policies. They backed him into a corner and tricked him. If he vetoed it, because you got to remember, they got rid of the line item veto, so he can't only veto certain parts of bills. So if he vetoed it, then the budget would not have passed, and the entire government would have shut down. So they slipped it in under the radar. They slipped it in under the radar into a bill that he had to sign. Otherwise, the country would have collapsed. So they basically said, "You have to sign this." So
that's
you have to sign
scare
it. So,
tactics.
So I am not defending him, but it was the Monsanto owned senators and congressmen that backed him into a corner. He did not have a choice in this matter because they conveniently got rid of the line item veto. There, I'm done.
And the senator who wrote the bill and all that crap is Senator Roy Blunt from Missouri. So and he's the one who's in the pocket, okay? And his Senate seat, let's see, it says, is the junior United States Senator from Missouri. He is a member of the Republican Party. His Senate seat was previously held by a Republican, Kit Bond, until Bond's retirement, and will be sold by Blunt to Monsanto Corporation upon his retirement. What do you mean you're selling your seat in the Senate? Uh-uh.
What?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, first of all, I don't understand why things are slipped into other bills. Shouldn't everything be separated so that there is no pork or whatever? I think that's the term that they use.
It's all – the system is so corrupt it's so – okay, you know the picture of the Ouroboros, right? The snake eating its own tail?
Yep.
That is what our system is. The entire system is an Ouroboros. They have it so that they can do this kind of thing. I mean, it would be too obvious to say the system is corrupt. It's always been corrupt. And in all honesty, it probably could not operate even a little bit if it were not corrupt. On that note, though, it's more corrupt than it needs to be. And the whole system basically needs to be knocked down and started back fresh. So you bring back the line item veto. So you bring back the blocks that stop these kind of things. So you bring back blocks to filibusters and the other kind of nonsense that the Republicans love to pull out. And yes, it's Republicans that do this crap.
It's all of them. Every single one of them. And they need to keep the, what do they call them? The butt kissers that, my brain went dead. They're the ones that push all these bills here and there.
Oh, the lobbyists? The lobbyists?
Lobbyists. Lobbyists, okay. No lobbyists whatsoever, period.
It's supposed to be we the people, but what's happening?
It's we the rich seven top families or whatever.
We should have a show just on conspiracy theories. That would be fun.
It's not a theory if it's true.
Yeah. No, I know. I agree.
Well, on that note, maybe we should head on to our next break.
Sounds good.
Cause we're falling out of love. I believe we were meant
Welcome back. Hope you liked the song. We've only got time because Teresa and I apparently are a little bit gabby tonight. So we've only got time for one spell. We actually had a bunch more that we wanted to go over with you. Some really cool magic and some moon stuff and diamonds, because we know that Lisa likes the sparklies. But we don't have time. So we will get them next week when we will be back at the same time, same place. So because it's April, I thought we would do a fertility spell. All you need is one hen's egg, paint or permanent marker, any color, a pin, almond or olive oil, a coconut shell, a tiny straw basket, and moon water if you need it. I say do it. When the crescent moon is in the sky, take a hen's egg and paint or color it with the permanent marker pens. Decorate it with mother goddess symbols such as spirals and butterflies and bees and birds. Place it in the window ledge of your bedroom and leave it there until the night of the full moon. On this night, prick the egg gently with a silver pin, and then the next day, early in the morning, sprinkle it with a few drops of almond or pure olive oil for added fertility. Place the egg in one half of a coconut shell, because the coconut is the most potent fertility fruit there is, or a tiny straw basket, and set your little boat sailing on a river or on the outgoing tide. If you can't sail it, you can bury your egg in your coconut shell beneath a willow or an alder or elder tree and water the soil with the moon water. Make love whenever you wish during the month, but make sure you do it for sure up during the full moon. Now, you should note that this spell is not going to overcome gynecological problems or, you know what I mean. But it can relieve the anxiety and stress, which do seem to block fertility. So that is our fertility spell. So go out there and have lots and lots of sex and make some babies.
Oh, yeah.
So, T, do you got anything else for us? Otherwise, we got to get ready to wrap up.
Oh, yeah.
How fast this is gone.
I will see you on Saturday when we go to investigate a house. There.
Oh, yes, we will. And I'm bringing that frozen pie that Karen made for you.
Yes. Thank you.
And all of the other stuff that I've got for you from her.
Yeah. And next week we'll have Ashley back. Yay!
Since she can do the darn news, because we suck.
We do. We really do. And we admit it. So there you go.
Yes. So in the meantime, my darlings, thank you for joining T and I on the Sit a Spell show. We will be back next Wednesday, 6 o'clock, Central Standard Time, same place. And have a wonderful week. Make sure that you go out and do something for somebody else. Make them smile. Do a good deed every single day. And remember that you are perfect in every single way. You matter. You matter so much more than you know. To so many more people, all those people that are so sad out there because they think they don't matter, I'm here to tell you, honey, you really do. And remember to always, always, always take back your light. Blessed be, my darlings.
Sometimes I feel
try, try, try.